You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north in Aria, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Rishon LeZion, Holon, and many, many more. We have a fantastic show for you today. Special show with the Sports Rabbi. Of course, we're going to lead off the start of the show with Dov Halichman. We're going to talk about all the Israeli basketball action. We're going to go through all the league games, including the Clasico. We'll talk about the big upcoming European week for Maccabi Tel Aviv. They're going to face Žalgiris on Tuesday night, Barcelona Thursday night. Champions League action for Hapoel Jerusalem. It is do or die almost for them. We're going to talk about that game coming up in Poland as well. After this portion of Holy Land Hoops, we have a very special interview with James Young. And James Young, why do we have him on? James Young was the MVP of Hapoel Tel Aviv's win over Maccabi Rishon LeZion. It's a wonderful interview. We'll give you a sense of who James Young is. Time, of course, in the NBA with the Celtics, his time in Israel with Haifa, and now with Hapoel Tel Aviv and his expectations for the season ahead. It's a great interview. You're going to enjoy it. Of course, if you, you know, enjoy our stuff, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts, we are there. Make sure to leave us a 5-star rating. You can find me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We have it all, and we have some awesome interviews coming up this week. You're going to really enjoy it. And now we're going to bring on Dov Halichman, and we're going to get right to the Clasico. How are you tonight, Dov?
Doing good. What's up?
Doing good. We had a great, you know, great few days of basketball. We have so many great days of basketball coming up, Dov. It's really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Some big games over the weekend, some big games last week, and some big games coming up very, very soon.
Yeah, so let's just get right off the bat. The Israeli Clasico Saturday night, Maccabi Tel Aviv wallops Hapoel Jerusalem 104-80. It was a game that was never in doubt. Scotty Wilbeck in 18 points, Jalen Reynolds 15 points, Roman Sorkin, Oz Blazer 14 points apiece. Hapoel Jerusalem really did not have much. Retin Abasolano 21 points, Kaiser Gates 12 points, but it seemed they were never in the game. After the game, of course, Oren Amiel, the coach, embattled coach, I might add, talked about how, you know, they were really focusing on Europe and Europe's more important at this point and, you know, blah, 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 blah. We saw Guy Harrell, the CEO, sitting up in the stands on top. And we saw after the game, Guy Harrell and Eyal Chomsky hanging out in the hallways of Yad Eliyahu. I don't think they were talking about dinner plans. But two things that came out of this game. Maccabi Tel Aviv, looks like they got back on track in the league after that disastrous result in Gilboa Galil the week before. They pick up a win against Panathinaikos, of course, 77-73, which we spoke about on Friday's podcast with Roy Shalom. Of course, you can listen to that every Friday where we talk about Israeli football and we wrap up the Maccabi Tel Aviv and the rest of the European basketball action as well. And on the other side, Hapoel Jerusalem is just not clicking any which way. It was very interesting to hear some of the pregame quotes from both of these teams today, saying that, you know, Oren Amiel looking on one side for Jerusalem, you know, we have to show up and, you know, we're 0-2 already. And, you know, on the other hand, Maccabi Tel Aviv going to Žalgiris at home and Barcelona at home, looking for, obviously victories. Žalgiris comes in 0-5, but you've got to be careful with the wounded animal. Dov, a very interesting Clasico, a very interesting week ahead for these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, Hapoel Jerusalem looked very disoriented, as you mentioned in the previous game in the league against Maccabi Tel Aviv. And Maccabi look very good coming into this upcoming crucial EuroLeague week for them. Both teams keep heading in opposite directions. One team wins that game week and the other team loses and vice versa. And it's just different mess going on in each team that's kind of overwhelming the system as both teams are trying to figure things out early on in the season, because obviously there's still time to make adjustments and stuff moving forward. So nothing has been decided yet in any competition, and it's early enough to really adjust and figure out the rhythm for these both teams, so that way they can improve themselves heading into the rest of the season, and extremely crucial week coming up for both of them.
Yeah, so let's talk about Maccabi Tel Aviv and their crucial week with Žalgiris 0-5 coming in on Tuesday night. Maccabi Tel Aviv has to win this game. Giannis Varopoulos says they got to be careful. The big thing out of the press conference was Roman Sorkin. He did not speak, but he was spoken about by both Keenan Evans, who was interviewed at the press conference before the game, as well as Ante Zizic. Both of those players, you know, were asked about Roman Sorkin, and Giannis Varopoulos just said, you know, he's got to just keep his, head to the ground and, you know, just be humble and modest and start, you know, and just keep doing what he's doing. You know, but I like Sorkin is that he has no fear. He sees the game in front of him. He's easily moved into this EuroLeague role. He never gets phased. And I think that is one of the great things. You never see pressure on this guy's face. Like, he knows where to be. Yeah. He knows where to make the pass. He understands the game. You have to remember, he played in the Final Four with Oregon. Now, I know he didn't get big minutes in college, but he was in that atmosphere. But the guy just, you know, is never phased. He's a good kid, never phased. Maccabi had wanted to bring him on, of course, the year before. They finally got him this season. But, boy, Roman Sorkin, deserves a lot of credit. He's looked good in the minutes he got in the EuroLeague last weekend against Panathinaikos. He looked excellent against the Apollon Jerusalem. And I'm sure, you know, Giannis Varopoulos wants to see that continue on for Roman Sorkin, Dove.
Yeah, I mean, Sorkin has been a big part of this team for now. And their successful games have been when Sorkin has showed up for the most part. And Maccabi really need to keep him rolling, because we've seen that some of the other front court players from Maccabi struggle in certain games and in certain matchups. And then Sorkin's like the Joker card, as they like to say here in Israel, and kind of can make the difference for them. And Giannis Sparopoulos really needs to keep him in check in order to maximize this player's potential, which I don't think he's close to hitting his ceiling.
No, not close at all. I mean, we got to figure that both Jake Cohen and Oz Blazer won't be dressed again for these games. Oz Blazer played really well in the Maccabi win over Jerusalem, especially in the fourth quarter. He really poured it on. Did a lot in his minutes, 17 minutes, 14 points. He had an efficiency rating of 21. He was a -4 somehow. The only minus on the team. Not sure how that happened, but Jake Cohen, on the other hand, 11 minutes of a lot of nothing. He did not take one shot. He had two rebounds. He looked like a lost puppy. One steal in there. He had an assist. Maybe I don't even know. He had a couple of assists. Excuse me. He was a +18, so the team played well with him on the court. But Jake Cohen just looks – and I can't blame him, right? I mean – I'll tell you, in the EuroLeague game, when Sorkin put down that huge dunk, literally, right, Jake Cohen was sitting in the stands right in front of the dunk. He did not flinch. He did not get up and cheer. I mean, it was hard to see. And I understand his frustration, right? A professional wants to play. He's ticked off. Roman Sorkin has a spot right now. He wants to play. On one hand, I'm sure he feels great for a guy like Roman getting his chances and all that. On the other hand, he wants to be out on the court also, and that's a professional. But he's got to show up in these Israeli games, and he just hasn't this year. Something, you know, just isn't clicking with him, and this is not the same Jake Cohen that we saw a couple of years ago, though.
Right. Something just really looks off with him and his gameplay lately when he actually does dress for them. It should be a real concern for Maccabi. They really need to have that backups. Those type of backup players that fill in those roles moving forward into the season, especially with the Israeli league aspect. I mean, there's always injuries. I mean, it's part of the game. And then you really need these other guys to step up who aren't the starting five players, whether it's league or Euro league, but you just really need those extra backups to really be able to perform when you need them. And Jake just looks really out of place and not connected to what's going on there, and it's a big
disconnected.
Concern
I think for Maccabi. Disconnected is the right word. I mean, I saw him there one of the last timeouts. He was just sitting on the side, you know, on the LED sign, just like didn't look into it at all. You know, and on the other hand, you have players that are, you know, like Derek Williams is looking to, he's hitting his stride right now. He looks very good. John DiBartolomeo is a consummate professional. He's always going to put it out there for you. James Nunnally is going to do what he has to do. And Yves Duff is still learning. You know, I would think they're going to dress him regardless, just to make sure he gets that experience sitting on the bench. I do believe he's going to be a fine EuroLeague player. It just takes time. Scott has been playing well. Keenan Evans starting to get into it. So I see good things for Maccabi. Let's hope that the game in Gilboa, for their sake, was just a blip on the map. They take care of business Tuesday. Then they're going into that game against Barcelona. They're playing house money. We always say that they have tough time against Barcelona. They have not lost against Barcelona at home since 2016, which is kind of odd because Maccabi's had some bad seasons out there. And, of course, Barcelona's one of the two undefeated teams, them and Milano. So, you know, you're going to be facing off against an all-star team. The players will show up for that game as well on Thursday night. It's going to definitely be interesting. You know, make sure, you know, we're going to have some great previews out. Elior Gittler is going to have his preview in Hebrew for the game coming up. We also have a special interview. We'll let the cat out of the bag if you're listening to this already before Tuesday morning. But we have a great interview with Tyler Cavanaugh, played for both the Atlanta Hawks and the Utah Jazz, played the last couple seasons in Europe. He has an interesting story. There's some great stuff there. And Dove, I know you've already, you know, you've been a part of this interview. There's some good stuff in there. There's some good quotes about, you know, the differences of playing in the NBA and Europe and the G League. Talks a little bit about his coach. There's some good stuff in that interview, though.
Yeah. One of his quotes is interesting about what league he thinks is best in the world right now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which might make the headline of the article. We'll have to see. That's a little spoiler for whoever will be reading it tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, he's an impressive resume. There's some really established players on that roster. And he talks about Coach Schiller leaving the team, departing. Žalgiris says he already knows him from before and just figuring his way out in European basketball, which is not an easy task to any player.
No, for sure. Now let's move on, Dov Halakman, to Hapoel Jerusalem situation. They go into the Champions League game, Stahl Ostrau. They're 0-2 in group stage. There's only six games total. This is game number three. They've lost two of their home games already. This is a must-win if there was ever one in their entire life. Oren Amiel spoke before the game. We also heard from Willie Workman, and we also got to hear from the captain, Adam Ariel. They all know their backs are against the wall. Willie talked very positively about, you know, that, you know, sometimes you really, when you're facing adversity, the pros know how to take the adversity and really use that to bring them to the next level. Obviously, they're all hoping that's going to happen. Oren Amiel, you know, knows that this is really game. I mean, if they don't win this game, I don't know if he's going to be the coach next week. They got to win. I mean, there's no coming back at this point. If they want to make third place in the group of four, in order to get to the next stage of this competition, they've got to win these two games against Stahl Ostrau. Both of these teams are 0-2 going into this matchup. They claim they are ready to go. They are focused. Wednesday night's going to be interesting. We have a good European week here, though. We have Žalgiris Maccabi Tuesday night. We have, of course, Jerusalem Ostrau Wednesday night, along with Jan Madar is going to be playing Wednesday night in Euro Cup action. We also have Tomer Ginnat that evening as well, and Gal Mekel and Andorra. And then Thursday night, Barcelona against Maccabi Tel Aviv. But let's focus on this. Thon Maker, Anthony Bennett, Kaiser Gate, Sean Kilpatrick, Retan Abasuan. These guys got to show up. This is it. I mean, if they don't show up, you got to figure there's going to be some serious changes in the makeup of this team, because Europe at that point, I mean, granted, they could still win three games in a row, right? But let's be reasonable here. They're going to have to play on the road two of those games afterwards, and they've lost to both of those teams at home.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see any hope for Jerusalem's European season after going 0-2 at home, no matter what they do here. Unless they really put up a big performance, they're in really big trouble. especially due to the fact that, okay, there's the third place possibility to qualify to the next knockout round, but it's through a series, and Jerusalem's group is linked to the group of death in the Champions League. So whoever they'll end up playing there, if they finish third somehow, will also be a huge challenge and probably a better team than them overall. So looking at the big picture, Jerusalem's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's move on now into the Israeli league, of course, itself. Of course, we're on here with Dov Halachman, the sports rabbi Josh Halachman, going through the Israeli basketball action and looking ahead to the European games that are coming up. Let's start off here. Shall we go with Galil Elyon and Nes Ziona? Galil Elyon, 85-79, winners over Nes Ziona. At home, Galil Elyon with their second win in a row. Good stuff from them. Ike Yerugu, 16 points. He is one of five players in double digits for Barak Peleg's team. Nes Ziona struggling. They are, I believe, 0-3 at this point. Frank Bartley, 20 points. Marin Marich, 18 points. Deontay Garrett, 17. But again, Galil Elyon playing very good basketball. Nes Ziona, Lior Lubin, looking rough. And they have a big game Saturday night against Hapoel Tel Aviv. That may be the last straw for Lior Lubin. He's got to start winning games, though.
Yeah, it's looking really bad on that end. And just like Jerusalem, I don't really see in Jerusalem in the Champions League, I don't really see optimism on the other side of the tunnel here. It's going to really take big miracles for something good to happen in that aspect.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. Saturday night's going to be a very, very big evening. A couple other points I want to take out of the game here. Gabi Shashashvili, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 24 minutes, looking very good, starting to come into his own for Galil Elyon. And that's good news. It's nice to see some of these young players. And Shashashvili was hurt for the under-20 tournament that took place here in Israel in 2019 in that summer, wasn't able to play. But it's great to see these young Israeli players getting the minutes and giving back on the court, though.
Yeah, I think it's really important for the league for these players to really find their way into the first division and actually get minutes and not just rot on the bench. Mm-hmm. And Chachili is a great example of that. And it's really, really important that a player like him is getting his minutes and is playing well. It's just it's a real plus for the league and for Israeli basketball as a whole move regarding national teams and et cetera.
Yeah, let's move on here. Hapoel Holon, 84-82 winners over Gilboa Galil. I got to tell you this, Gilboa Galil should have won this game. I mean, they were kind of in the driver's seat for a big part of this matchup. Holon was able to get into the lead near the end of the third quarter and were able to just stick it out. And you saw their experience and their depth really take this win. They were up against it. Mauricio Buscaglia after the game was, pretty excited that they had won this game. And he saw that his team was able to pull it out. Chris Johnson with 21 points was spectacular. I mean, this guy is just a machine, an unbelievable player. Guy Panini, 14 points. Michael Kaiser, 12 points for Holon, leading the way over there. And then for Gilboa Galil, you got to give Ronnie Harrell credit. 29 points, 9 rebounds was phenomenal for them. Sasha Killia Jones with 16 points. London Perantes, 13 points and 10 assists. And I got to tell you, I understand that Perantes was playing with a sprained ankle. Sasha Killia Jones was ill, was not feeling well for the game. And they only have three foreign players. Now, to be able to contend against a team like Holon with only three foreign players, two of which are not playing at 100%, and only losing by 2 points is just spectacular. And I think even though they are 1-2, Gilboa Galil, they have showed a lot of people that they can do something, and they already just made another signing. They're bringing in another big man, Derek Cook. So they're continuing to, to rework a little bit. But Guy Kaplan and his staff doing a good job so far there.
Yeah. Regarding Cologne, I mean, they're just like an experienced Formula One driver. They always figure out on the last lap how to take the lead and win the race, and they did it again. And Gilboa Galil are, on the other hand, they're a really exciting team too. And I really think that they can give a good run for their money this season, even though they have three foreigners who Some of them weren't even well to play the last game, but they still figured out a way to, and they really respect a lot of respect to what they're doing there.
No, really amazing work. And Cholon, they're a fun team. They're great to watch. And it's going to be a great season with Cholon and Gilbao Galil. Again, I think a lot of us are really surprised at how well they are playing. One last note about Gilbao Galil. They have a European game in Saratov on Wednesday. It will be interesting to see what lineup Guy Kaplan will field in that game away from home. Hapoel Be'er Sheva, 99-93 winners in overtime over Hapoel Eilat at the Red Sea City. And boy, oh boy, did we get a great game over here for Be'er Sheva and Rami Hadar's team. 26 points for Cody Dems, 20 points for Derek Pardon, and 14 rebounds for him as well. 19 points for Junior Eto. A shout out to Benny Eisenhart with 2 big points over there as well and 4 fouls. Hapoel Eilat, 27 points for Brian Allen, 21 points for Romelu White. Again, this was a back and forth game. It was a lot of fun to watch this game. And again, I'm impressed with Be'er Sheva. They're winning. They're doing what they have to do, and they're picking up the W's. It's always good to win. You know, you are picking up your W's. You want to pick those up as fast as you can and as many as you can and collect them because you never know when you're going to get another chance to get those wins. And that's why it's super important to start off the season really, really well. And Be'er Sheva is doing that. They're doing that right now, and credit to them. And one last note on Cody Dempse from me. I still don't understand how he didn't dress against Hapoel Jerusalem, because I mentioned in the press conference that to Rami Hadar, there's no Caleb Agata this year. There's no instant scorer. Cody Dempse is the closest thing they have to a guy that is a instant scoring machine. I understand he wanted to play Hornsby because he wanted to, you know, find kind of the matchups and the physicality. You got to start Cody Dempse in every single one of your games. Sorry. He does not sit ever again because Jerusalem was, you know, I'm not saying that they would have beaten Jerusalem or not, but Cody Dempse is your man when you need scoring. 8 for 11 from the field, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal. And I want to add, Pardon is a great player. I mean, I was super, super impressed with his performance against Jerusalem, and I thought he was phenomenal once again. He's just very, very stable. He's a very classic big man, you know, more like a 10 years ago type of big man. And you love to see it. His physicality, his vision. He knows how to spin his defender right, exactly at the right timing to get an open look and an end one under the basket. And it's extremely valuable for Rami Hadar to have a player like him this year. And, you know, Rami Hadar's philosophy has been a lot around players like Zipper, who can play defense and shoot threes well. But Pardon really gives him that boost in the paint that they were missing last season that they really have this year that can maybe boost them even further in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, about Pardon, we should also say this. He really neutralized Patton. Patton only 13 points, 5 for 16, I should mention. Or White had 21 points, let him score, but they really contained Patton because Patton, we've seen, can score 20-something points in a game. And they did a good job. A little shout-out to Joaquin Shukman with 13 points. Good to see him scoring the basketball as well over there for a lot. Let's move on. Monday night's games. B'nai Herzliya 90-81 winners over Hapoel Haifa. B'nai Herzliya, listen, they were great. Chris Babb, what a signing. The minute they signed Chris Babb, I was like, boy, did they get a steal of a player? Now, the Israeli teams have tried to bring him in before. Herzliya was able to do it. 31 points, 7 for 8 from 2. He was an efficiency rating of 40. Andy Van Vliet, 17 points with a great, huge three-pointer near the end of the game to really put it out of reach. 11 points each for Quinton Hooker and for Sandy Cohen and Marcus Kennedy. 10 points, 13 rebounds, double-double for him. Over to Paul Haifa. They played well, not good enough. James Thompson, 16 points. Gregory Varkas, Scotty James, 15 points apiece. Kadeem Allen, 14 points. Not enough for Hapoel Haifa. They're going to have to start winning their games as well. I'm sure that El Hadassin is not happy with the situation by losing these. But listen, Herzliya 3-0, and they're going to be going into Maccabi Tel Aviv on Sunday with a perfect record. That's pretty good. They're in first place with Hapoel Cholon right now.
Yeah, I mean, Herzliya are just amazing. Chino Nwaku and his gang there and Babb, they look really good. They look very complete. Credit to Zufi for that. They just, it's hard to find like a flaw in the way the roster's built. And you got to give a lot of credit to the management there, Aaron Aharoni, and Zufi again. And really exciting to see what they're going to do this season. I said it last podcast, I'll say it this time. They're giving a run for their money this year.
I'll tell you this. What Zuforavdia did, of course, the father of Denny Avdia, who's the general manager over there, he did something intelligent. And you know what that was, Dove? He decided we're going to pay the fine, the 200,000 or whatever shekel fine, and play with five foreigners. And you know what? It pays to do that. It does not pay to be cheap and to not play with five foreigners, because at the end of the day, those that end up not spending that extra money may find themselves out of the league next year. And that's not where you want to be, because then that money, you're not even going to be close to making any of that money back. You got to play for, a team like B'nai Herzliya, that's their ticket this year. They're playing with five foreigners. Now, on the Israeli side, Sandy Cohen had a good game today. It's first really good game of the season, 16 minutes, 11 points. Yair Kravitz, 19 minutes. He only took two shots. I don't know. He didn't shoot. I don't know what was going on there. Sean Dawson, 21 minutes, only 2 points. So, they're playing with three Israelis, not ideal. Dori Sar did not play a minute, and he was like the poster boy coming from Maccabi Tel Aviv. They said, oh, young players are going to get minutes, blah, 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 blah. Well, that hasn't happened at all. And I think one of the good things with Amir Aharoni is he's saying, you know what? I want to win games. Excuse me, Oren Aharoni. I want to win games. And having five foreigners to me is a brilliant stroke of genius. I don't know. I don't understand why more teams won't just pay that fine, because at the end of the day, if they want to be in a relegation battle, these clubs, it's the last thing you really want to be in, right? Do you really want to be sitting in a relegation battle at the end of the season? Really? Do you really want to be there? Play the five foreigners. It's worth it. You can compete against Maccabi Tel Aviv a little bit better and Hapoel Jerusalem, teams that usually traditionally play with five foreigners. And you're putting yourselves in a situation where you're going to build up not only your team, but your fan base. Winning three games in a row for B'nai Herzliya, a team that basically struggled to stay in the league last year. It went down to almost the last day of the season. They would have been out of the league, and they were just out of the league the year before that. To me, that's just a stroke of brilliance by Avdija and Aharoni.
100%, 100%, every word.
That's what I've got to say about that. Let's move on. Hapoel Tel Aviv, 104, 79 winners over Maccabi Rishon LeZion. This was a blowout. James Young, 23 points, 9 rebounds, efficiency rating of 30, 16 points from Jacoven Brown, 15 points from Bar Timor. Really, this game was never in doubt. From the get-go, Rishon LeZion, Chris Clyburn, 16 points, Igor Kuleshov, 17 points. Clyburn just came back from the States. They got to make some kind of moves, this team. I mean, Malik Dime, 6 points in 22 minutes. I believe he got all those 6 points in the first quarter. Noam Dovrat ended the night with 8 points, but he had basically no points going into, I believe, the fourth quarter. Netanel Artsy is just not that strong. 17 minutes, 8 points. Joe Alexander, 10 minutes, 3 points. They've got to make some serious moves, Rishon LeZion, or else they're going to be struggling to stay in this league, though, Alekman.
Yeah, they really don't look good. And really, again, the two orange, the orange teams of the league are really having trouble figuring it out. Necessarily, Rishon just don't look like anything's really working there. And it's just, what Brad Greenberg did last year in Nestiona should be a lesson to Rishon. Flip, if your foreigners aren't playing well, your team isn't running well, just flip the players now before it's too late. Just release players, figure something out, and just do it immediately so you can save the season.
Yeah, they got to make the moves. These games are critical. I know that there's a lot of games left in the season, but you got to get off to a good start. Why do you want to dig yourself out of a hole? and dig and dig and dig. It's just not worth it. They're going to have to make some moves. Of course, we're going to wrap up here with Dove Hallifman, Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. Let's just go through the games coming up this weekend. We have Nes Ziona, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Saturday night. On Sunday night, Jerusalem hosts Holon, which is going to be a great game. Looking forward to that. Gilboa Galil, they welcome in Eilat to Ganer. On Sunday, we have a trio of games. Be'er Sheva hosts Rishon LeZion, Hapoel Haifa. They welcome in Galil Elyon and Maccabi Tel Aviv, Bnei Herzliya. Big matchup. Who would have thought that at the start of the season? But yes, this is going to be a huge matchup on Sunday night at Yad Eliyahu. The Sports Rabbi is looking forward to it. We have great European games coming up, right? You know, literally on the cusp of them on Tuesday night for the rest of the week. I'll be back with Roe Shalom on, of course, Friday to go over what went on in the European games. And as well, we'll wrap up the Israeli soccer and look forward to the next weekend of games there. Dove Hallichman, where can people reach out to you before we get to James Young interview?
At Dovester9 everywheres.
Dovester9 everywheres. And of course, me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports. Make sure you subscribe to us on all podcast platforms. Leave us a 5-star rating. This is great, Dove. We have some great games coming up. But right now, let's listen to James Young with the Sports Rabbi. You'll enjoy the conversation. It's a great interview. Learn a little bit about one of the stars here in Israel. He's just coming off a great game for Hapoel Tel Aviv in a huge win over Maccabi Rishon LeZion. James Young, he's up next.
You're listening to the Sports Rabbi.
James, what are you excited about coming into this new season?
I'm excited all the new players we got with a lot of talent. We got a lot of experienced guys on our team. So I think we have a good depth on our team this year, and I'm just excited to play with everybody.
Do you feel like you have some unfinished business coming into the season, James, knowing how last year ended, obviously, unfortunately, with the injury? And then even if you look back to the Maccabi Haifa, the way that season ended when you were playing at the top of your game.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I just come back here every year with a little chip on my shoulder, and this year is even more big of a chip. So this year, everybody better watch out. I think we're ready. I'm in some of the best shape I have been in a while, and I think we got a good team, a good coaching staff, and we're moving in the right direction.
Take you back a little bit to Haifa for a minute. You were having really an all-star year. You were top of the league. You were really above the league in a lot of aspects. How rough was it when the whole COVID thing, you know, just came down and, you know, everything just stopped?
It really sucked because I put a lot of work in during that year, the summer before. And I know everybody on our team did that year, so it really sucked to just see how everything just ended so quickly. And it definitely did put a lot on my head, but more years, more futures, and just more life. So we got to just keep going past it.
Yeah. One of the players you played with, Roman Sorokin, so he ended up playing another season, and then now he's playing with Maccabi Tel Aviv. What did you see in him when you were at Haifa that would lead him to where he's headed to in his career?
Oh, I already saw a lot of potential in Roman. He was an offensive big that can do a lot of things, scoring, shooting, and he was aggressive on defense. So I already knew Roman was always going to be good. He just had to slow the game down and just understand it a little more, and that's where he's doing right now. And he just won MVP, and he's doing real good for him, so I'm happy for him.
Let's take a trip back. How did you get started in basketball?
Man, when I was 3 years old, my grandma brought a little hoop out, and she would take it everywhere we went. When I traveled, I still see pictures today, and I would just shoot with her. And I actually started my first camp when I was 4 years old. You wasn't allowed to start until you were 6, but I was always taller than everybody. So I kind of started ever since that first camp and just been going ever since.
Did you have any role models when you were a child? Was there anybody you like really loved to watch?
Yeah, at first it was Rip Hamilton because I was in Detroit. Uh-huh. The way he just came off screens and shooting in the mid-range and stuff like that, I just love to shoot. And after say Rip, I would say Trace McGrady. That was the guy that really took my game to the next level, and watching him and loving the number one. And I think that's who my role model is today. So,
when you were in high school, you know, obviously the accolades start. You know, people are seeing you. You're being noticed. You go to the Jordan Classic. What's that whole experience like for a high school student?
It was crazy because it happened fast. Because I wasn't the top recruit in high school or nothing like that. So I guess I had a good few AAU circuits, and I got noticed. And all of a sudden I just see emails coming in and letters just started flowing in, like, oh, you're here now and you're there. So it just all started happening so quick. So I just had to adjust to it and just keep working out.
You end up at Kentucky. How many options must have you had going into that that college year?
It was in my senior year. I had hundreds of letters. A lot of recruits came to come to my house. I didn't take any official visits, actually. Mm-hmm. I just did one at Kentucky and just fell in love with the place. And I was just like, all right, yeah, this is home. So after I went there after my senior year, that was it.
Did you feel that Coach Calipari was one of the main reasons why you decided on Kentucky?
Oh, yeah, he was for sure. Cal was. He was more, he came to the house, family guy. That's what I really liked because I'm a family guy myself. And I talked to him, talked to KP, the assistant coach at the time. Real good guy, real good coach. He knew what he was talking about. So when I went there, I'm like, why not go to Kentucky, right? So I just fell in love with the place, man.
You end up going to the final of the NCAA tournament, your first season, your only season. On one hand, it's an amazing accomplishment. How frustrating was it on the other side to not come away with a big prize?
It was very frustrating because we had an up and down year that whole year. Like, we were the number one ranked college. Then we lost a few games, and we were like 8 seed coming into the tournament. And everybody was like, "Oh, they suck." So it always pushed us to like be where we wanted to be. And then coming so close to losing by like 6 points, I think it was, to UConn, it was heartbreaking. But it definitely showed people that we weren't no pushovers.
Do you think there's too much pressure today for college players to leave after 1 year?
There's definitely a lot of pressure, especially with the media nowadays. Like, you can't get past nothing, especially if you are like a young guy in high school recruited. They expect you to go 1 year and done. So it's like always going to be that pressure. But it's mainly about how you take the pressure and how you develop in your game on if you're ready to go to the next level a lot. So I think that's just the biggest thing for guys that's coming in.
Do you think it's more beneficial to stay in 2, 3, even 4 seasons? You're talking about learning to be a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Forget about putting the money aside, and that obviously is a huge piece to anybody. Yeah. Putting that aside, talking about the actual being a basketball player.
I really don't see 2 or 3 years being like the reason why you should stay in college. I really don't. The younger you can, you got more years in the league. They have the development league now, which is definitely helping a lot of young guys. I think that's the biggest thing. I think the development league that they got for the G League and helping the young guys, I think that's even better than college, to be honest. It shows them the NBA ways and how coach wants things to be done a certain way. So I think that's big now.
You know, I was talking to Cody Demps. He was one of the veterans that was playing with the Ignite and with a bunch of the future draft picks. Cody's playing in Beersheba. Mm-hmm. You know, and you said that you really hit the nail on the head over here, understanding that that's what they really do need. Do you think that this is something that the NBA will continue going forward? Or are they going to – could they scrap it and say, you know what, you don't have to go to college and, you know, we'll take you right out of high school?
Yeah, I think it's coming towards that, honestly. Cutting the 1 year out and just going straight to development league, I think it's beneficial for a lot of young guys. It can help support the family money-wise, like we said, you know, even that. Even just developing, like I said, to learn the way of the game, just off the court. They have everything you need. They're putting in a lot of the NBA's putting a lot more time into the development than when I was there, so I think that's going to be the biggest thing to helping guys.
You still in touch with guys from that Kentucky team?
Oh, yeah. I just got in touch with Julius last year. I said happy birthday to him. Me and Willie, we talk here and there. I told happy birthday to Alex Poitras not too long ago. So there's a few guys I talked to here and there. And the Harrison twins, me and him are always we Snapchat here and there, see where they're at. So there's a few guys that still talk to each other.
Looking at Julius, he paid his dues in the NBA. And now he really kind of found his niche with the Knicks, and he loves it. He ended up signing a contract that was, you know, he could have waited and gotten that max, but he decided not to. What do you think of his career arc right now?
I'm so proud of Julius because he's been through a lot, and a lot of publicity. They were all on his head about a lot of stuff, and he just kept working, and he deserved everything he got right now. And the Knicks are a perfect fit for him. His family ties there, everybody's one big family there, so I think that's the main thing for him. He's just comfortable, and you see it on the court. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Trey Dalton, what does he mean to you?
Trey's my guy. He just actually reached out to me a few weeks ago. He was just here. He was a big part of my my big stepping stone in Haifa. I was working out with Trey 2-3 times a week, and he really took my game to the next level. Right now, I think he's in Panama or something like that, so it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for him to get back here, but I'm definitely got to reach out to him and get that process going, because he definitely took my ball handling and everything else to the next level.
Being selected in the first round of the NBA draft, was that a dream come true? Was it something that you'll never forget, or do you look back at it now as something that came too quickly for you?
Man, I would say all of the above. came quick, dream come true, and I got tape of it, so I can see it every time I want to. But it was just a dream come true, man. I had my mom, my grandma there. It's a very special moment. Cal was there. And you couldn't wish for a bigger stage to honestly be on at that time of person when you're 18. So I think that was just perfect. And I'll never forget that moment.
Do you think it laid too many expectations on yourself and even on you? But, you know, you look through guys that have, you know, gone in the draft in the first round. A lot of it's hit or miss. Some guys, you know, Nikola Jokic, for example, was in the second round and became an MVP player. What's that like?
Yeah, it's tough. It puts a lot of pressure on some guys. Expectations are always at the top when you're first round. But like you said, some guys in the second round, they always somehow stand out. Every year is going to be a different draft year. You never know what you're going to get and stuff like that. That's the beauty of it. So just watching certain guys go through the process and coming out how they do is big. So, I mean, you can't really say much about it.
How tough was it to break into the rotation with the Celtics?
It was always tough for me because I was the youngest guy, and yet it's like we always kept getting guys in my position. So it was like Jay Crowder, Gerald Green, vets, they're always there, you know what I'm saying, already in the league. So it was always kind of tougher for me, but at the same time, I learned from a lot of those guys, and just watching them and how they were professional, I think that's what helped me.
You're here now, obviously, as a veteran, and there are 18-year-old guys here, 19-year-old guys, young guys, a ton of them. What does that mean for you to be able that type of teacher?
It's crazy because I'm only 26, and I've exactly. I'm just trying to show some of these guys like certain ways to just be, not even say professional, just how to carry yourself on the court. Not certain times to joke, certain times to be serious, just little things like that. They're already mature for their age, and they're coming here professionally, so you can't teach them too much, just the little things.
Brad Stevens, what was it like to work under him?
Brad was a great XO's coach. He knows his stuff to a Q. He sat down with me a few times just to talk to me, see where I was at. He was a guy that just, a personal guy that would talk to you, see how you were doing type thing. That's why I like Brad a lot. And like I said, he knows his X's and O's. He was a great coach.
Was Danny Ainge around the team on a day-to-day basis? Or was he, you know, what was his type of overseeing, you know, his position?
Danny was always around. I remember preseason, Danny would drive me and pick me up. I would go to the games with Danny sometimes. And he was always active with the players. His office was right above the practice facility. So he's always looking down at guys and, I come here, let's talk. He'll talk to you before practice or after practice. And Danny was always hands-on, so that's why I like Danny.
You played with a ton of players. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Al Horford, Jalen Brown. You know, the list goes on. Evan Turner, Brandon Bass. Was there somebody that was the biggest influence on you during those seasons with the Celtics?
I would say Evan Turner was.
Big vet.
Hey, big vet. I was hanging out with Evan more than any guy on the team. He was like my vet for me. It was times I would take his nicest Maybach truck to his house when he wasn't there. Like he was like always like an older guy for me to look out. He showed me the ropes, off the court stuff I shouldn't be doing, on the court stuff that I should be doing. And man, we still talk today, so that's my guy.
What was it like being shuttled between the NBA and the G League, back and forth, back and forth? I look at your transaction list on one of those websites, and I'm like, oh my god, it's like. It must be so difficult to maintain some type of consistency.
Yeah, it was so tough. And I would never say the process is going to be easy. So that's why I never gave up. Like, you just got to keep playing. Like, I love to play basketball. Like, I didn't matter if it was in NBA. I don't matter if it's over here. I don't matter if it's in this is the game I love. So I'm just going out there and just play my game, man. And everything will take care of itself. So, I mean, it was hard to go back and forth. But at the end of the day, I'm doing what I love.
How did you make the decision to come to Israel?
My agent had a few options for me. And he said Israel is like one of the most Americanized places over here and beautiful. And I did a little research on it, and I'm like, well, why not? I mean, it seemed like a great place. Weather, food, weather. How can you go wrong? You feel me?
What are your goals for yourself this upcoming season?
Stay healthy. My main one is stay healthy so I can help the team out as much as I can and just be a leader on and off the court and just try to get us to where we need to be. Everybody here wants to win, and I think that's our main goal is to just keep winning.
Last year, Jan Madar, this year he went to Partizan, played in the Summer League. How did you get to know him over the course of time when you were here last year?
Jan was a great guy, point guard. I only talked to him like a few times, and I only played three games.
Yeah.
So we really didn't have that much connection, but he knows the game in and out. He was a great point guard. He knew where to be. He knew where other guys should be out on the floor. And he was a great defender, too. So Jan's going to do good.
Danny Franco, what do you see him as the head coach? What does he bring to the table?
Danny, like I said, like how Brad knows his X and O's, so does Coach. He's great. He's very hands-on. He likes to talk to us about certain things and slows it down so everybody understands it. And I think that's our main thing. Certain guys don't get certain things sometimes, but he'll break it down for you and just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Is the NBA still a goal?
Oh, for sure. That's number one on my goal right now. Like I said, I'm only 26. It's time's ticking, but that's my main goal. There's no other place to go.
A couple small questions. What is your favorite Israeli food?
My favorite Israeli food? I've come to grow on hummus. I've never really liked hummus, really, but I'm starting to come on, just like it a little bit, so that's about it.
What's something we don't know about you, something that nobody knows about you?
I like to go on long walks and hikes, just to zone out and not think about too much and just be present, you know.
On-court sneakers?
I don't really prefer anything. Might be low cut. I'll say my Jordans. I got some 12s in the back that I like. And, I'm a Jordan guy more than anything.
Off court?
I got the Vans. I got a few couple off-white shoes. And like I said, I'm a Jordan, so I got Jordans all through my closet.
And finally, one of your tattoos you want to point out?
My favorite tattoo, I would say my grandma's quotes that she told me to get down. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then another one she always said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So those are my two favorite ones from my grandma.
James Young, thank you very much. Good luck this season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.